All right, well, tonight we're going to be looking at Numbers chapter 22. If you have your Bibles and you want to look with me at Numbers chapter 22, it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, the fourth book of the Bible. And I have a question for us tonight, and the question is, how is it that you come to God? In what way do you come to God when you need something from Him? I was reading about some prayers that children prayed beside their bed at night. And one of the children, he went to God and he said, God, I pray that you would shut my brother up. You know, these cute things that children say to get God's attention. Come on, Will. We come to God in different ways for different reasons. And the way in which we approach God shows us how we view God. Tonight in Numbers chapter 22, you'll just get a little background from where the people of Israel are. You recall that the people of Israel had been delivered from slavery and bondage from Egypt, and they had been wandering in the wilderness. Last time we had seen that the people were told that they could not enter into the promised land for 40 years, that generation of people would have to fully be dead before the people of God entered into the promised land. And tonight, the people of God are on approach to the promised land. But the 40 years hasn't yet been completed. They're wandering still, but they're approaching the promised land. And around the promised land, there's different groups and different nations of people who surround the promised land, this land that we know of Israel. There's groups, the Amorites and the Moabites, the Canaanites, different people groups who are stopping the people of God from entering into the promised land. And as the Israelites approach this land of promise, they encounter these people, and they have these fights and these military battles with these small nation states. And the Lord has shown His favor upon the people of Israel. They've had encounters with the Amorites, and they've been successful. And tonight we come and we see that the people of Israel are near. And in chapter 22 of Numbers, in verse 1, we learn about a man who is seeking after God. He wants something from God, and I want to look at how he seeks the Lord. In verse 1, then the sons of Israel journeyed and camped in the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan, opposite Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. So Moab was in great fear because of the people, for they were numerous. And Moab was in dread of the sons of Israel. Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this horde will lick us up, lick up all that is around us as the ox licks up the grass of the field. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of Moab at that time. So he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river, in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, behold, a people came out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the surface of the land, and they are living opposite me. Now therefore, please come. Curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I may be able to stand to defeat them and drive them out of this land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. Balak, a king who's frightened of the people of Israel, he sees that these people who are blessed by God are approaching them, and they've been very successful in defeating other nations, is greatly troubled and feared about these people. He saw that the Amorites, who had defeated them just in the previous chapter, it says the Amorites defeated the Moabites. He saw that the Israelites defeated the Amorites. Now, if you follow sports or college football, you know that if you're going to play a team that that got beat by a team that you already beat, you can be sure that you're probably going to beat that team. And Balak is looking at these people and he sees that they beat somebody who has already beat them, so he's going to get beat up. He needs help. He needs help. He had already turned his gods to Baal, but the Amorites had destroyed him. So he turns to another god, the Lord, Jehovah, the God of this scripture. He says, "Send me this prophet and help him help me. For this man has seen God, and when he says, 'I will bless you,' you are blessed, and when he curses you, you are cursed. I want this man to come and bless me." But this man has come to God in a way which many of us do. He has come to seek what he wants, not what the Lord wants. And what the Lord wants is for this people to be blessed. But Balak, he goes to the Lord and he asks the Lord that these people be cursed, contrary to what the Lord has in plan, what the Lord has in store. Balak, like many of us, has come to the Lord for what he desires, but not what he needs. And what he needs is for deliverance, for safety. He needed to come to the Lord and say, "What must I do to be saved?" But he doesn't. He goes to the Lord and says, "Curse those people. Curse those people." Where instead he should have said, "Lord, bless us. Protect us. What would you have of us?" We come to the Lord oftentimes as if God is like Santa Claus, just giving us whatever we desire and whatever we ask. But we need to come to God and ask him what he would have for us, what he desires from us. And we see this as we look at the prophet Balaam in this next little section in verse 7. "So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with fees, payment for divination in their hand. And they came to Balaam and repeated Balak's words to him. He said to them, 'Spend the night here, and I will bring word back to you as the Lord may speak to me.' And the leaders of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam, and he said, 'Who are these men with you?' And Balaam said to God, 'Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent word to me. Behold, there is a people who came out of Egypt, and they cover the surface of the land. Now come, curse them for me. Perhaps I may be able to fight against them and drive them out.' But God said to Balaam, 'Do not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed.' So Balaam arose in the morning and said to Balak's leaders, 'Go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you.' And the leaders of Moab arose and went to Balak and said, 'Balaam refused to come with us.'" Now Balak had come to the Lord to get what he wanted. But Balaam, it seems, is coming to the Lord to find out what the Lord wants. And he does it in a very appropriate way. He spends the evening with the Lord and he asks the Lord what he would have him do. Many of us this evening and in these weeks and in this period of our lives have many questions, many things that we need to know about for our lives. Things about jobs, things about family and relationships, questions about what we're going to do after we're in this place, where we're going to go, where we're going to live. It's very appropriate for us to go to him who knows our future, the one who knows and cares for us intimately and lovingly, to spend time asking the Lord what we should do, how we should change our lives, what direction we should take for our lives. And this is exactly what Balaam does. He goes to the Lord and says, Lord, what would you have me do with these people? And he gets a very clear and direct answer. The Lord says to him in no uncertain terms, he says, don't go up with those people. Don't go up with those people. I don't want you to do what that king wants you to do. Don't even go with them. So Balaam, he turns to the people. He rises up early in the morning and he goes to this delegation that has been sent to receive him. He says, the Lord has refused that I go up there with you. So go, get out from my midst. Now there's something confusing about what Balaam does. We don't really know what's in his heart at this time. Perhaps he's very legitimately concerned with following the words of the Lord. He's turned these people down. They've brought money to him to do what the king wants. And he's refused it. He's refused it. He's said what the Lord has told him, and he turns the money down. But something in his heart is wicked and deceitful. The New Testament, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 2, calls him a mad prophet, a crazy prophet, an unreasonable prophet, one who has no thinking or logic. You see, there's something in what he is thinking, whether it's as he sends this people away or as you'll see in this next section, they come back to see if he'll come and do what the king asked. Look with me in verse 15. Then Balak, the king, again sent leaders, more numerous and more distinguished than the former. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus says Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I beg you, hinder you from coming to me, for I will indeed honor you richly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Please come then, curse this people for me. And Balaam replied to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me this house, his house full of silver and gold, I could not do anything either small or great contrary to the command of the Lord my God. Now please, you also stay here tonight and hear this, and I will find out what else the Lord will speak to me. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men have come to call you, rise up and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you shall you do. So Balaam arose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the leaders of Moab. A man who had already heard from the Lord, he had met and encountered the Lord. He's interested in this money. He's taken in by this desire for money. And he goes to the Lord and he says once again, what else would you say to me? But the Lord, when he says something to us, he means what he says. I don't want you to go. I don't want you to do what that king wants you to do. Don't even go. But there's something very interesting about the Lord and how he works in our lives. You see, even though he doesn't want us to go sometimes, he knows that we're very intent on doing our own thing. Balaam had rejected the word of the Lord and looked for another word from the Lord. And it was because of his desire, his lust for money. The mad prophet. You see, our lusts render us logicless. Our lusts, unchecked, render us completely senseless. It's our lusts that tell us, even though we're alcoholics at times, right? that it's okay to have alcohol in our house or in our apartment. It's our lusts that tell us it's okay to go with prostitutes. It's our lusts that tell us to steal, to take that which is not ours. Even though we know it's going to get us into trouble and it's going to destroy our lives, it's our lusts that blind us and make us crazy, that make us mad, senseless, unreasonable people. Our lusts drive us from obedience to the Lord. This is what we find with Balaam. Balaam, a man who was looking for a second answer because he didn't like the first. Now, many of you have received a word from the Lord in your life. Many of you have prayed about where you're going to be. And the Lord has told you, you need to be at Brother Brian. You need to clean yourself up. You need to heal and change and transform. And you need to be transformed by the Word and transformed by the teaching that's done here. But 2 or 3 months in, you might start to question that and think, well, wouldn't it be nice if I was out of here and I didn't have to do these things? Wouldn't it be nice? So you go to the Lord again. But the Lord has already spoken to you. You're looking for something for yourself, not what the Lord wants for you. Never, ever ask the Lord a second time when He's already given you a firm answer the first time. Never ask the Lord a second time when He's been clear the very first time. I've had the privilege over the last 10 years of researching the life of Billy Graham, and particularly his early years. As a student, Billy Graham was in college. He was a little bit older than most of the students because he had done several different schools and transferred and graduated from a couple different schools. But at Wheaton College, where I went and where I got to see where he studied, I talked with a man who knew him a little bit, who went to school with him, and this man, he told me a story about Billy Graham. Now, Billy Graham at this time, he was a gifted preacher already. Some of you know Billy Graham, I guess. He's a pretty famous preacher, preached the gospel throughout the earth. This man said that as Billy was about to graduate from college, he was looking for a place to serve. Where did God want him? So he prayed and prayed. And he went to this house of a professor every week where they had lunch and they would pray for one another and they would pray for missionaries around the world. And as they prayed, Billy was offered a position for a church, a very small church, a basement church, they call it. A church that hadn't been completely built yet. Like I said, the basement. And they were planning on building a sanctuary on top of this basement, but they didn't have that yet. And they had called Billy Graham as their pastor, and Billy prayed about it, and he thought about it, and he went to this group, and he said, I want you to pray for me and help me to discern whether this is the place that God would have me serve. And as he prayed, he felt a great peace about what God had in store for him at this church, this tiny little church on the outside of Chicago. So he told the group, the Lord's answered our prayers. I know what I'm going to do with my next few years. The next week, he came back to that group, and he said, I need your prayer. Another church, a big church with a radio ministry, has come to approach me and told me that they want me to be their pastor. And he said, I really need to pray about this because this has such exciting things for me. This radio ministry could be something I could use to proclaim the gospel throughout this country. Then he came back a third week. And he said to this group, I want you to forgive me. See, the Lord spoke to me that very first time, and He gave me a great peace in my soul about this small church, Western Springs Baptist Church, outside of Chicago. And I was tempted by the greatness of this other church. And I was taken away from what God had clearly said to me the first time. See, when God speaks, He does not change His mind. When God gives us answers, He does not change His answers. Billy Graham went on to this small church, and it opened up the doors for him to have a ministry, actually a radio ministry, that reached across the airwaves of the entire nation. And opened up doors for him to proclaim the gospel in ways which that church in Indiana could never do. His obedience opened the doors for him not to be a great successful evangelist, but to do what the Lord had in store for him. Each of us this evening have something in store for us from the Word of God. So I ask you, how do you come to God? Particularly, how do you come to God when you have these questions and these concerns and these worries? Don't just seek God as Balak, this king, had sought God, seeking just what he wants, but seek out the will of God. Find out what God would have for you. Take that night, that evening, that week, that whole day, just to pray and to ask and to wait and to listen to what God wants for you. Sometimes He asks very difficult things from us. Sometimes He asks us to cut off relationships that are bad for us. He always asks us to get as far away from our sinful flesh as we possibly can, to put away those things which so easily entangle us. There's no question about that. But when you begin to doubt what the Lord has clearly said to you, remember Balaam. Remember this man who met and encountered the Lord in such powerful ways, but so easily forgotten, succumbed to his lusts, his desires for his flesh. Remember Balaam. But remember that you need not be Balaam. By the power of the Spirit, you can walk in righteousness and renounce those lusts. See, those lusts have payments, but they don't last. But obedience to the Lord has payments and riches and rewards which this earth cannot match. Seek the Lord. Follow Him. And be obedient to Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm nonsensical in many ways as I step up here, Lord, but I pray that Your Word would speak truly into our hearts, that it would pierce us, that we would follow and listen and hear what You have for our lives, and we would not walk away. We would not ask a second time, but we would, with due diligence, follow every word that You have said to us. Help us not to be as Balaam. I pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.